science fits with chop 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 this. You're gonna watch this. 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 Look at this. That beautiful ice cream. The reason you're gonna slop away every day.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to GagCast episode 160. I am Sheepy D, and I am in Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat, and I am in the basement.
Down in the basement, Wombat. How are you, Wombat?
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing all right, all things considered.
That's good. I'll tell you, I am officially obsessed now with Rap Chop.
Yeah, it seems to be all that you talk about lately.
It's playing in my head constantly. It's now the soundtrack to my life.
That's really frightening.
If people don't know,
Rap Chop. He did a ShamWow one, the guy who made the Slap Chop one.
Yeah, it's not as good, though.
It's not as good. I'm just, you know, I don't know if everyone knows that he made two, though.
Right. Rap Chop is the remix of the Slap Chop infomercial made into a rap, I guess.
That would be it, yes.
It's very clever, and my wife certainly isn't tired of me telling her that she's going to love my nuts and that to telling her to stop having a boring tuna and stop having a boring life. She's very, you know, she thinks it's just as funny as I do.
Do you say martini, linguine, bikini?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, so yeah, I've been listening to that about four times a day. You can download. Oh, yeah, I'll give this guy a plug here. The guy who did put the song together is named DJ Steve Porter, and you go to djsteveporter.com and you can download the MP3 file, or you can look up the video on YouTube. But you know, you got to download the high quality MP3 and put it on your iPhone. Ooh, I just farted, by the way, and it's ripe.
That's lovely. I'm glad that we record in two separate continents.
Right, they don't have the technology yet to transport my ass to you.
And I'm grateful for it.
Wombat, you're going to love my fart. Wombat, you're going to love my fart. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Anyway, so, you know, it's E3 almost, Wombat.
I know. It's kind of, I'm happy for you, sad for me.
And, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. They just announced, posted the floor plans for the show. So now the show, it's official now. People weren't 100% sure. But now that you can look at the floor plans, you can see that the show is big again. Back to the giant booths. You know, the whole show last year was basically in one small room and then a lot of tiny rooms where you could, you know, go to each publisher. Now it's back to the huge halls and, I don't know, we're back, baby.
So That's exciting.
I'm trying to book the appointments and stuff, and that's by far my least favorite part about E3, is trying to book appointments, because
isn't that why you have a shipwreck? So you don't have to do that kind of menial work?
Well, yeah, well, he's done a good job, actually. He actually did a lot of it. But there's some stuff that I want to see that we don't have appointments for yet. And this is the type of stuff that when I didn't have shipwreck, and shipwreck didn't do this last year. He just started doing this year, getting the appointments. But I used to obsess over, like, I'm not going to see this, I'm not going to see that, and it's going to ruin the show if I don't have an appointment with these people. And I don't know, like, I used to have, like, this attitude, like, how come I'm good enough to have an appointment with these people? How come they don't realize, you know, Cheap Ass Gamer is a popular site, I do a fairly popular podcast, how come I even have to write these guys in the first place? How come they don't just email me and say, oh, we want to, you know, invite you to this and that? No, you know, that really never happens. And I used to obsess.
I don't think they realize your influence.
I think
that's the issue.
I think it's sort of, I don't think my influence is that great. But I'm just saying, that wasn't my point.
I would actually say the opposite. I think, you know, I think THQ probably acknowledged that with all of your praise of Saints Row. I think it helped sell a few more copies of that game.
Well, that's not even my point. But, I mean, that's kind of you to say. But my point is that I used to have this attitude, like, that I'd be obsessed with it. And I would just, you know, I just would freak out, like, if I didn't have this appointment, and it would just occupy my day thinking about it and ruin, you know, the whole 2 weeks leading up to the show. And now I don't even care. Like, if I can't get an appointment with you, I don't care. I'll go buy pants. Hopefully, you know, I'll just be sitting in my hotel room the whole time smoking weed and not see anything. That would be the ideal situation.
No, actually, that shouldn't be anyone's ideal situation. That actually sounds remotely pathetic.
No, that's true. The ideal situation is to get the weed and then spend the whole time in the show high and see everything. The only thing I really want to do is get high.
Go up to like people and start touching their hair.
No, I said, I didn't say
funny
ecstasy.
Looking.
I didn't say ecstasy.
Yeah, well.
No, I meant one of my favorite E3 moments, I think, of all time is when I saw Mass Effect. The first time they showed Mass Effect, they had like a developer demo that you could sit and they would play through the demo for you. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, I'm 90% sure that I was high when I watched that and that I thought it was the most amazing thing I ever saw. You know, you can imagine seeing that game for the first time in a dark room on a big screen with the sound cranked up all the way, showing like the galaxy map and all that shit. It was pretty intense. So I'm trying to get an appointment for Mass Effect 2. That's the and
well, the
appointment for the other
thing. Well,
they listen
to the show. I can only imagine now that you've said something, will come our way.
They're going to want to have a high GPD sitting in the Mass Effect room.
Who wouldn't want a high GPD sitting in their room?
Right, I'll be quiet. I won't say anything.
You'll be quiet, and then eventually you'll probably get hungry and offer to buy food for everybody.
That's right.
I know how you roll.
So you were talking about how Shipwreck was setting up appointments, and he right before the show, he told me, there's some the company that makes Pet Pals, I forgot the name, but they're setting up appointments, and Shipwreck's like, they invited us for a steak dinner. And I'm like, but it's Pet Pals.
But it's steak.
But you know what? I said to Shipwreck, look, if you want to go have a steak dinner, just tell me, and we'll go have a steak dinner. We don't need Pet Pals to pay for the steak dinner.
I think it's a twofold thing, though. I'm going to disagree because I think the story of getting the steak dinner from the Pet Pals people is a better story than you and Shipwreck having a steak.
Do you think if you go to this, if you go to the Pet Pals steak dinner, that they talk about Pet Pals at all?
Well, that's just it. It's like, what do they talk about? And eventually they will like get to the, and let us tell you a little bit about Pet Pals. Let me tell you how it's different than other pet simulation games.
Than pets with a Z? Right.
Then you can ask them, well, do you have a PowerPoint?
Yeah, I won't be asking that. Now, I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird to me, like, that you would go to something like that. Like, if you're not interested in Pet Pals, accepting a steak dinner from them is, like, I don't know. It just seems wrong. I mean, I can understand, like, if you that's your only opportunity.
No, it is wrong. It's wrong on every level. But then you have to remember the people taking you, it's not that money out of their pocket.
I know. And I guess, you know, if it's hard for you to get a steak dinner otherwise, then I guess, you know, you might as well take advantage of the situation. But I don't know. I don't think we need to do that. As much as I like a free steak dinner, I don't know. I don't. It might be a good story, though. I'll think about it. I'll get back to you on that. Also, I'm trying to think if there's anything else about E3 I wanted to mention. Maybe later in the show. I finished Wolverine this week.
And?
Which, it's a great game. I highly recommend Wolverine if you just want a straight-up action game with a little bit of, you know, moving crates, puzzle-solving, and a tiny bit of platforming. But it's mostly just slicing and dicing people up in the most violent as possible ways.
In an odd coincidence, I'm actually drinking out of a Wolverine cup as we speak.
That is an odd coincidence. What outfit is he wearing?
It's Hugh Jackman as Wolverine jumping out of a thing of fluid.
I see. No, yeah, I unlocked all the costumes.
It's the plastic Wolverine 7-Eleven Slurpee cup.
I see. I unlocked all the costumes, they did a really nice job with the costumes. You know, you can get the classic one, the yellow and blue, orange and brown, X-Force, and then like the movie one. And they did a cool job like texturing the costumes. Like, it looks better than the comic. Like, it looks like it could really be a costume. You know how, like, in a comic it just looks like it's, you know, it's painted on, which it, you know, technically
well,
is.
Well, it is drawn.
Right, but they actually made it look like you could actually wear it. So anyway, I really recommend Wolverine. I mean, there's no replay value to the game.
You should check out some Wolverines drawn by John Cassidy.
I will not do that.
And he draws Wolverine where it looks like he's wearing a costume.
Okay, well, I can't wait to see those muscles rippling.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he did a good series of comics with Joss Whedon. It was good stuff.
Why don't you have that game? Have you tried to Gamefly that or anything?
I did put it on my Gamefly. I have two Gamefly games currently that I haven't touched yet. I've actually been kind of busy. As you know, I got the new DLC for Fallout.
Okay.
And I wanted to wrap that up, which I did over the weekend.
All right.
It is the best of the three downloads.
Broken Steel.
If you only have $10 to spend on Fallout 3 and you already have the game, Broken Steel is where it's at.
Okay.
The Pit, honestly, was a little disappointing. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it was a little disappointing. And I don't have Operation Anchorage. Maybe I'll pick it up at some point, but not right now. But I did pick up Broken Steel. It's long. It's difficult. It's nice because it extends the game. And, you know, now my guy's, I think, level 23. And then I actually started to, after wandering around the wastelands a little bit, I decided to start up a new character. So who knows? I have like a stack of games that I haven't touched yet. And instead, I've started Fallout 3 again.
Yeah, I was like, what's wrong with you?
I know. I'm a terrible person. I think that's all that says about me. I'm like, you know, I could be. I have Call of Duty World at War from Gamefly sitting there, still unopened. I have Halo Wars sitting there, still unopened.
Oh, dude. Send back Halo Wars and get Wolverine. I mean, you're not gonna play Halo Wars. I'm telling you right now. That's not a game for you.
Play, like, at least a couple of hours of Halo Wars before
You're not going to do it, though. I'm telling you. You're going to have to learn all the units and shit. You're not going to do that. You just want to play a game where you can push the buttons and cut people open and take their heads off.
You're mostly right. I mean, that's kind of why I like Fallout 3.
Right. It's, you know, you can just go. You can just go. And that's why you keep playing it over and over again, because you're familiar with it. Wolverine, just get right in, you play it, and it's pretty long. I mean, for a game like that, I think it was over 10 hours. It seemed that way, which is, you know, pretty good.
By the way, I'm really disoriented right now because I'm not used to talking about games this early in the show.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Well, you put it so early on the outline.
Well, I put Wolverine, that's all.
Yeah, you put Wolverine so early. I haven't even talked about my weekend.
All right, talk about your weekend. I'm done.
I feel so out of the loop. That was like...
I
went to the 56 Fighter Group for brunch on Sunday.
People don't know what that is, probably.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh.
I know you know what it is.
Right.
It's a restaurant. Actually, there's more than one, but there's one on Long Island. And it's a... It looks like a French, like, country house. And it's like a World War II themed restaurant. It's like eating breakfast in a Call of Duty, a COD 4 map. Call of Duty 2, I guess.
Right, or 3.
Yeah,
right, there's airplanes parked outside of the restaurant.
Yeah, there's World War II airplanes parked outside the restaurant. There's big guns out in front. I have some pictures that you could post with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the barrels. It really does. It looks like every map in Call of Duty 2.
Is the food good there, or is it just like...
No, the food happened to have been really good. I mean, it was a buffet brunch.
Cool.
So I had waffles and an omelet and cannolis.
Excellent.
You can't go wrong with that. They had leg of lamb. They had like it was a pretty loaded real maple syrup.
Real tomato ketchup?
Real Heinz tomato ketchup.
Real tomato ketchup, Eddie?
Yes. And, you know, we took the baby with us, and she really likes cantaloupe. So we gave her some cantaloupe, and she was as happy as could be, and that's all that matters.
She's going to love my nuts.
And I love the nuts. So, and there was, I had time for salad, and there was no boring tuna.
Good.
I also saw, you know, a movie, I'm, you know, late to the party on this, but I saw Quantum of Solace over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't that good.
See, I liked it. It's one of those movies where I watch it, I'm like, wow, I really like this, but I could see why a lot of people didn't. Have you ever been in that, like, watched a movie that you liked, but you know why people don't?
No. Never. If I like it, it must be great.
Yeah, and no, I mean, it can be slow. It's a little choppy, but I still enjoyed it. Maybe I'm just, you know, too much of a fan of the James Bond franchise to be overly critical of it.
Right.
I also like the Daniel Craig James Bond a lot.
Sure, he's got a nice
butt. And there are certain things in the movie where I can understand why people may not like it, but I don't want to spoil anything, so I won't say it.
All right.
But overall, it's definitely worth a rental if you haven't seen it. Right. Oh, and I have to give a shout out to Player66, who, having after hearing me say that I didn't finish Dead Space but wanted to, he sent me his copy.
How did he get your address?
He asked me for it.
Wow, that was pretty nice of him.
I thought so too. So I have a copy of Dead Space sitting on my stack of games, but that's probably going to be next.
That's my pile. There's a few games I need to finish, and Fallout 3 is one of them, and obviously I have a long way to go on that. Dead Space, I need to finish. I don't know. There's probably more, but there's a huge pile
of
games on
my floor.
There's
a point of, like, when you're playing Fallout 3, there's this point that when you hit it, and you know it when you get there, that it's like, okay, now I'm into this game, and it's the only thing I want to play.
Is it when you have enough ammo that you don't need to worry?
Yeah, that definitely, there's that point, yes. Yes, 100%. So you need to, like, just stick with that game, and eventually
All right, I'll get back there. You know what? I told you what held me up was that my wife is a huge Fallout fan, and in the beginning, she only wanted me to play when she was around, and, you know, she's not around that much. But then she sort of decided she didn't really like the new Fallout. So now I'm allowed to play whenever I want without her.
Yeah, you need to just get back into it. Feet first.
I will do that. I will. Okay, let's do some show feedback from last week.
And we did a show last week.
We did do a show last week. That was noteworthy. Let's see. Salmon Day had a comment. He said, I can appreciate how extremely irritated GPD sounded with his wife about having her abandon her iPhone in the taxi. He had every right to be mad. Imagine doing something so stupid. I mean, the only thing dumber would have been to go to an ATM to withdraw a few $100s and then leave the money sticking out of the machine. But nobody would be that dumb, right? Touche, Salmon
Day. I laughed very hard when I read that.
So. I read that, too. And I told my wife about it. And she's like, yeah, you are stupid. How dare you? Let's see.
And then she kicked you in the man parts.
Right. S-Free79 wanted to know if the cabbie charged us to bring the phone back. My buddy left a cell phone in a cab last year, and the cabbie said he would have to charge him mileage. The guy drove like 10 miles and charged us $40. When we complained about it, he said, tough, take it or leave it. Needless to say, we were not happy.
I would have called the cab company.
Well, I mean, you are taking money out of the guy's pocket. He gets paid when he's, you know, shuffling fares around. And if he's got to drive back to you, he doesn't have a fare.
Yeah, so, but I think it's all relative. I don't know how much a 10-mile taxi ride in that area would cost.
Right, it could be a lot of money. I mean, here's the thing. So, like, in Japan, Japan's a weird place, obviously, but I was going to give the guy money, and I told Shima, like, I'm going to go downstairs, I'm going to give the guy, like, 10 bucks or something, because I don't think he was 10 miles away. And I was going to give him money, and then I decided not to, because I thought he might be insulted, and that my Japanese wasn't good enough to have the appropriate conversation with him for this whole thing to make sense. You know, there's no tipping in Japan for anything. So I just felt like the guy wouldn't take it. Like, so if you try to tip the guy, like, they usually don't take it. So I just figured, fuck it. Just give me the phone back and I'll bow. And that seemed to be fine. He didn't curse me or anything. Let's see. Also last week, I'm going to read this. This is a very controversial Wombat. I read that my dad's email when he was talking about you and said that he thought that you might be jealous of me and G-Baz Gamer or whatever. Aries04 says, Cheapy, reading your dad's private email on air is borderline disrespectful. You owe your dad an apology for doing that. And after further reflection, I agree. So I am apologizing to my father. I'm sorry. Should not have read the email. Certainly, I think I should not have read it verbatim. I could have said, hey, Wombat, my dad sent me an email, and he thinks
you're a douchebag, and
Well, that's not what he thought. He said he thinks that you might be jealous, and that's why you ask me all these questions about finances or whatever. But to read the letter, email, word for word, was pretty wrong. And I think, yeah, I told my dad that I did it, and he was pretty upset by it, and that seemed to be the part that upset him, that I read it word for word. But a lot of people thought my dad was wrong, his sort of theory was wrong about that I have to, that by talking about financial stuff that people will not be able to relate to me. Petey Rose says, I'm going to do my best to refrain from any Jew money jokes when talking about Chibi's dad, but I didn't like his letter at all, and I thought it was quite petty and mean towards Wombat for no good reason. I've been a CAG member since 2003, and I've listened to the CAGcast since day one. What I've always liked about Chibi is how open and transparent he is to his audience. No topic is off limits, be it his wife's experimentation with the Rez trans vibrator or business decisions. That openness and honesty is the main attraction behind not just Cheapy, but his entire brand and empire. Wombat, I have an empire.
You do. I'm a member of it.
Please never change Cheapy. I almost cheered when you read that letter. It was very patronizing of your dad to think that your fans are dumb enough not to know you're a capitalist and making the big bucks. I think, you know, look, I will thank you, Petey, for that. You know, I my theory is that people are not stupid, and especially if you're listening to the show every week, you probably have a good idea of what's going on, right? So I'm not going to really be able to fool you, and usually being honest and transparent is a hell of a lot more interesting than, you know, trying to say what you think people want to hear. You know, it never really works out that way. So usually the best thing is just to say what's on your mind and you know, be truthful. I think my dad is really just looking out for me, and he doesn't want, he's afraid there's going to be some sort of revolt or something. I don't think he meant to insult, the audience or you, Wombat. It was just a theory of his, and, you know, it was like the first, like I said, it's the first thing that popped into his head, and he fired it off in an email to me, and I did a stupid thing, and I read it on the air. I mean, were your feelings hurt, Wombat?
Yes, tremendously.
No, I mean, seriously. Come on.
Seriously, they were hurt. I cried.
No, dude.
I cried. What do you want from me?
You didn't cry.
I'm a sensitive man. No, I'm fine. It's cool.
Did my dad write you an apology email?
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No.
He must have got busy.
Maybe, yes. Every time I'm very busy. Did I tell you? I didn't tell you. My in-laws are selling their house in Long Island.
Oh, where are they moving to?
Well, they already have a house in Florida. I think they're going to just have one.
Oh, there goes half your babysitting staff.
I know. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, that is depressing. Yeah. I would be pretty upset.
I know. We'll make do. Yes.
I'm trying to... there were a lot of comments about this whole email thing. I'm trying to think if I want to read any more of these. I don't know. I think that's good. People got the idea, I think, right?
Wombat? Yeah, basically everyone said the same thing.
Everyone said the same thing. So, okay. Let's see. Oh, okay,
yeah,
that's
keep
it.
The show moving. Come on. You're better than this.
All right, that's it for the show feedback, I think.
Moving
well, actually,
on
this
to
is,
keg.
This, I mean, one more. This one was funny. Fine. Myopic Prophet says, Cheapy, I just wanted to say that I feel that Cheapy Dad is incorrect when saying that talking about your internet space pimpitude somehow creates a rift between you and your core audience. I personally toil through the 9-to-5 hell of the corporate world, with my only respite being video games and the CAGcast. I'm very sorry, by the way.
Is it respite or respite?
Whatever. Of course, when listening, I wonder about the specifics of your life, and by divulging some of the more personal tidbits, be that financial insight or how you acquired your wife through an ecstasy-fueled cab ride, or just how you enjoy pooing in alleys, it shows that you truly are an everyman. And then he says, keep the shows coming, guys, and thanks for the hard work you do for your fans. All right, so that's it for the show feedback, Wombat. CAG News-ish. Two things. First, a question from Buttle. He says, I love the site revisions, and any thoughts about having an option to leave reviews for games? Well, Buttle, you can do that right now. See, you didn't even know. And all you have to do, it's very simple. The big search bar on the top of the screen that you can't miss, just type in the name you want to review. Okay? Type that in, and you select the game. And when you click on it, you'll see right on the little menu that comes up on the next screen. It says reviews, and you can post your reviews right there. Pretty simple, right?
Wait, eventually, so go to the search bar and I type in a name of a game I don't want to review,
and write FU.
And then I just have to keep doing that for every game I don't want to review, and then what's left over I can review.
I don't know. I lost you. I sensed a really bad joke coming, and I tuned out.
That was probably a good idea.
So yeah, you can just do that. Eventually, we'll have a reviews like homepage, like a portal, so you can see more what's going on with the community reviews. But yeah, you can do that. It's very easy. What else did I want to say? Oh, we took Shipwreck's. You know, Shipwreck is pretty crazy. Shipwreck has like a huge spreadsheet of video games. Like he cataloged a lot of video games. He's what do you call a personality like that, Wombat?
He's a type A.
Type A, like obsessive compulsive, sort of?
Yeah, he's definitely type A.
He's an engineer. So that's like his life. So he had a huge Excel spreadsheet with all these games. And he was kind enough to donate it to CAG. And what we did is we imported all of his retro games on his spreadsheet. So basically every console now is in the CAG database. We imported about 5,000 or 6,000 games. I forgot exactly the number. And Whipsmart Banky drew up these really cool mini icons for those retro consoles. Have you seen those, Wombat?
I did. I used your suggestion and typed in Road Rash to see what we had.
They're pretty good. He did an amazing job. Considering that, like, you know, they're 15 by 15 images, you know, pixels, tiny. And you can really tell what the consoles are. So big shout out to Shipwreck. Big shout out to Whipsmart Banky. Lastly, in CAG news-ish, you know, E3 is coming up. And I was talking to Super Programmer John. And I was like, you know, we got to get some of these features up before E3 because I want to be able to stroll through E3 being, you know, we got this, we got that. So he's telling me the trading system will definitely be up before then. We will have the blogs will be enhanced by then. And there's going... Oh, the trade-in value database will be there. So you'll be able to look up a game and see what the trade-in values are and edit and, you know, enter trade-in values when you trade in your games at different stores. So at least 3 or 4 cool things will be coming before E3. And now let's go on to the new releases, Wombat.
Yes, we shall.
Speaking of new things that are coming, that are cool.
I like new things. I'm into that.
All right, what's the big release this week? I think it's got to be Punch-Out.
I'm going to go with Punch-Out with the Bionic Commando following behind it.
Okay, so Punch-Out has gotten very good reviews, Wombat.
It's gotten amazing reviews. I'm very tempted to pick that up.
You should get it from Amazon. It's
I know. I saw it. It's like the cheapest.
$40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have no interest in Punch-Out, I got to say. I wasn't a huge fan of the original on the NES. I don't know. I remember I used to watch my friend Billy play it all the time. And once in a while, he would let me play. But I don't know. It just seemed like you're memorizing patterns of the boxers and... You know, when the guy winks at you, you punch him in the stomach.
Yeah, that's basically how it works. Same game.
I don't know. It's I don't see. I mean, I understand it has, you know, it's cute and all that, but and it seems like that's what the new one is too, right? So
yeah, it's basically the same game, just prettier.
Okay, I mean, I can understand why you could be into that, but for me, I am not. Also, you mentioned Bionic Commando.
Yeah, which isn't getting the greatest reviews right now.
Well, I told you the multiplayer, I thought the multiplayer demo was very disappointing. But, you know, I think people are really more interested in the single player for that. I mean, it's gotten very good reviews, actually, I thought. Oh, no, I just looked at the wrong thing. Well, you know what it is? Some people have been giving it decent reviews. Like, it's been getting 8s from a lot of sites.
Yeah,
but it's also
getting mostly
8s.
It's not like it's getting trashed, but I think people are expecting it to be a great game and not a very good game. Does that make sense?
It's average. It looks like it's getting... It has a 69 Metacritic, which is average. And I told you I played it at TGS last year. They had the single player there. And I could... You know, after playing it for 5 minutes, I said, wow, these controls are very difficult. And it does not seem fun. It seems more frustrating than fun. And I stopped playing because I just... You know, I don't need this aggravation. But I don't know. It's basically getting...
Have you seen the media kits they sent to Real Media for this
no.
game, though?
No.
It's badass. Like I want to email Capcom and go, what do we have to do to get on that list? Because
that's it?
Cool stuff. It's like an action figure and a box with all sorts of, like a t-shirt and all sorts of nonsense in it.
Dude, it's all junk. It's all
I want
junk.
One, basically.
It's garbage.
Yeah, I like
it's
junk.
Garbage. Don't clutter your life with that garbage, Wombat.
Well, obviously, I don't have one. It's not like I've done anything other than complain to you on this show about it. So,
right. Right. So I don't know. Bionic Commando is not even on my radar. I could really care less about Bionic Commando. And I do recommend though the downloadable Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Which is that still $5 or is that sale over?
Okay, it's $5 on PlayStation Network, but I don't know what the story is on Xbox 360. Maybe next week. Maybe never.
Oh, I thought they dropped it on both. I guess not.
Nah, they didn't. They didn't.
Those bastards.
Yeah, but it's very difficult, but it's very well done. I definitely recommend it. For $5.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it's definitely worth $5. 100%. Yes.
100%. Also this week, UFC Undisputed. I don't know. I tried the demo. I didn't like it that much. It seemed very slow to me. Like when I would kick, you could just see the kick coming, so it just moves so slowly.
Well, I think that's just the type of game. It's a slow game.
I know. It's gotten very good reviews, though. I'm looking at the reviews
right now. I think there are people that like that kind of game.
Yep.
It may not be for you, but that doesn't make it bad.
Yeah, I know.
Say you're a jerk. Just get over it already. Get over yourself. I don't have time for this crap from you.
I like watching people kick the shit out of each other with different martial arts styles. That's, I enjoy that. Like
mixed
guy.
Martial arts?
Who?
I said mixed martial arts.
Yes. But I don't know. The game just didn't... I wanted to like the game. It seemed very slow and plodding to me.
Yeah.
Anything else that we... The Terminator game.
Does anyone care about the Terminator game?
Well, the Terminator...
Yeah.
If it's good, people care about it. I'm looking it up right now.
I don't think the Terminator in general people care about. The show was canceled, the TV show.
The one with the chick?
Yeah, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
It was canceled? Wow.
Yeah, canceled today, officially.
IGN gave it a 63.
The TV upfronts are this week. I'm supposed to go to lunch with CJ from the Player One podcast on Thursday. He's in town for upfronts.
What is his job?
He works for Adult Swim.
What does he
Cartoon
do for
Network. That? He is in charge of all the games on their website.
Oh, okay.
He produces the games on their website.
Because I always see his Twitters or tweets or whatever about Adult Swim. So I assume that he did something for them.
Yeah, no, he has a really cool job there, and he seems to be relatively good at it. So
great.
I'm going to get to meet him in person for the first time on Thursday and go somewhere fun for lunch.
Steak dinner?
Hmm?
Steak?
Yes, steak. And we're going to talk about pet simulation games.
Pet pals,
yes. But no, pest pals, I think, would be a better game. You get to raise either a cockroach, a mouse, or a rat if you unlock enough cockroaches.
And knowing where you eat for lunch, you'll probably unlock them right in the restaurant.
Exactly.
There's some more Wii games coming out this week. The Boom Blocks Bash Party. Boom Blocks Bash Party. And EA Sports Active. Which is like the EA's Wii Fit with a rubber band instead of a board.
Because you need two of those.
Right. You need two of those that you're not going to play. You're like, I bought Wii Fit, but I didn't really like it. So let me buy, and I didn't really use it. So let me buy EA Sports Active and then not use that.
The Nintendo name on it, like the Wii, like not, is it called Wii Active or is it just called something else?
It's called EA Sports Active.
Yeah, it's not called Wii Active. Do you think that not having that Wii brand name will affect sales dramatically?
Nah, because they have like a woman on the box with the leotard on, with a white leotard, white for Wii. And I don't know, it's probably a big box. It says personal trainer on it. It might work. Who knows? It depends on the marketing they did.
We'll see what happens, I guess, with the NPDs next month.
Let's see. Anything else? I think that's it for this week, right?
Well, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it looks like a lot of other crap, but, on like the DS and whatnot.
Okay, let's do some game shopping news, and then we'll talk quickly about the April 2009 NPDs. Some fairly big shopping news this week. Walmart entered the used game business. In a few states in the Northeast, they're putting in these like basically vending machine kiosks that will buy back your games. You scan your games in and you put the disc in and it checks the disc. And if everything's kosher, it'll offer you a certain amount of money for that game. And then if you accept, it'll credit you that amount on your credit card. And that's how, that's it. So they're testing that out in a few locations.
I mean, it could work. I mean, because it sounds relatively easy. And what do you get back? You get back cash or just a gift card to Walmart?
You get money. You get money on your credit card.
Okay. So you don't get a gift card to Walmart, though?
No.
Okay.
In fact, it's not run by Walmart. It's run by another company, and they're just putting the machines in.
So I was going to say, is this an actual Walmart thing, or is this
no.
a...
It's a deal that Walmart...
Eventually, you may go to your supermarket and find it, because I was at Walmart on Sunday, and they have that, you know, the red box movie rental thing where you can rent a movie for $1.
Right.
And they have that in my supermarket also. So
right. It's
going to
be like
same,
that, probably.
It's the same kind of deal. So it's not really Walmart entering the used game business. It's Walmart letting someone put a kiosk in their store.
Well, I think what's happening is that Walmart's testing it out with them because they're only doing it in a few stores. And if the results are good, look, Walmart's going to keep a fucking tight leash or anything like this. So if the results are good, then they'll probably enter in some agreement with this company. And it might, you know, it could very well wind up being an exclusive agreement if Walmart, you know, wants it to be. I'm sure what Walmart wants, Walmart gets. So we'll see what happens. It looked like the trade-in values were pretty low. It seemed to max out at $25, which is pretty low for a new release game. So it sounds like you're not going to find any great deals there, but I don't know. Maybe some people will get some value out of it. I don't know.
I don't either. I know I bought a new comforter from Walmart on Sunday, though. It's awesome.
When I heard about that news, I sold all my GameStop stock because last time it was announced that a new company, when Amazon was getting into the used game business, the GameStop stock fell like 15% in 2 days. So I sold all my stock and I bought Walmart. And
how's that going for you?
It's only been a day or two. Nothing's really happened.
I'm telling you, what's going to help Walmart is the Canopy line of sheets and comforters. There were like fights over those stupid sheets in the Walmart.
Right.
So I'm telling you, it's not about video games there. It's about the sheets and the comforters.
Well, either way, I bought the stock. I'm up $82.
See, I told you, it's those damn sheets. You don't believe
me. I'm rich, $82. All right, what else we got? In the game shopping news, Best of the Sunday ad deals. Let's see what we got. UFC, Undisputed. We just talked about that game. If you buy it at Best Buy, you can get a $10 gift card and a free UFC DVD. So that's a pretty good deal. And also at Best Buy, what do you think of this, Wombat? Because I think, you know, I could be wrong, because I am wrong from time to time. I cannot recall a Wii console being on sale before. And this is not, it's not technically a sale, it's a promotion. But Best Buy is throwing in a $20 gift card when you buy a Wii. So it was a price drop around the corner.
I don't know about that, but, you know.
It's just it's the something. First time. Let's see. Also, you can buy Mad World at GameStop or Amazon for $30. And GameStop also has Empire Total War for $30. You can buy, we mentioned Punch-Out for $40 at Amazon. If you buy Punch-Out at Target, they have a bundle for $54 that gets you the game and a nunchuck. So you basically get a nunchuck for $4. And if you want to buy that EA Sports Active thing we talked about, Toys R Us is throwing in a $10 gift card. So that's it for the new releases, Wombat.
That was really exciting.
That was exciting. Let's go over the bad news very quickly of April 2009 NPD numbers.
Yeah, those numbers are crappy.
Very bad month for video game sales. The winner was the Nintendo DS with over a million
units. Well, that's the DSi.
That's because of the DSi. And then second place is the Wii with 340,000, which is low for the Wii.
Yeah.
I mean, all the rest of these are all very low. Then you got Xbox 360, 175,000. Then the PS2, 172,000. And then you got
PS2
the PS3.
The PS2 dropped to $99 last month.
Yep, and the PS3 and PSP are bringing up the rear, 127,000, 116,000. So just very poor overall, basically, for everybody except Nintendo. And then you got the software, which was also pretty bad. I'm trying to think what's interesting about the software. Wii Fit continues to sell ridiculous. I mean, it sold 471,000 copies last month. And that, you know, it's a $90 thing. So, I mean, that's just incredible. Pokemon Platinum is kicked ass, 433,000. Then you got a lot of the usual suspects. Godfather 2 made the list for the 360 and the PS3. And let's see, what else we got? Got new Super Mario Brothers popped up on there.
Still, yeah, well, it was on there before. It's Guitar Hero Aerosmith is, I mean, it was on GameStop was selling it for $10.
Yeah, it was on sale a lot of places. A lot of bundles were.
It's a lot of bundles, a lot of clearance on that game, and that really seems to have helped pick up the sales. But then again, a game that only that sells 110 copies, making the top 10 list is,
Yep.
Yeah.
And Killzone didn't make it again.
I think it sold like 56,000 copies last month.
So, I mean, so is Killzone officially like a failure at this point?
Well, it sold over 1 million copies worldwide. And it sold, I think, close to 700,000 copies in the U.S. So, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a failure. It's just not.
Did it really sell that much in the U.S.?
It sold like 672,000 copies.
How could that be?
Because it sold close to, it sold like 300,000 copies the first month, 300,000 copies the second month, and another 56,000 copies in April, and that's 656,000 copies. There you go.
So,
you
mean, that's pretty disappointing, though, I think. I mean, I think Saints Row 2 sold more than that.
Well, you know. I don't know what to tell you, and I don't think
maybe
Saints Row 2 sold more than that on the PS3.
It didn't. I'm wrong. Okay, I'm wrong about that.
I know you're wrong about that. I know. I don't think 600,000 copies of a game, selling of a game, isn't bad. It's just not runaway success.
It depends how much the game costs to make also.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of variables in that, so right. I don't know what to tell you.
Saints Row 2 on the 360, though, I bet. Sold better than that. Yeah, it did. It did.
So there you go. Does that make you feel better? I don't know what to tell you.
Not really.
I mean, were you really like mentally competing?
No.
Saints Row 2 against Killzone 2? Is that the
Not really.
The battle know. In your mind?
No. And again, Grand Theft Auto, the DS version did not show up. So, all right, a lot of disappointments in the world while I'm at.
Exactly, and you were one of them. Wait a minute.
Let's get on to some multi-platforming. A lot of stuff to talk about this week. A lot of announcements are coming out.
Yeah, just so you know, it's for Killzone. I looked up the numbers. They sold 323,000 copies in February, 296,000 copies in March, and another 58,000 copies in April. So, yes, it sold over 600,000 copies.
Okay. So it's not that bad.
So then you're a loser.
I'm a loser. So a lot of stuff to talk about because of E3 right around the corner. Some of the biggest things, Tony Hawk's Ride. So Activision, I guess, realizes that their key to success is selling games that have plastic accessories. So now Tony Hawk has a plastic accessory in form of a skateboard. And I watched the videos of the guys playing it. And, you know, the skateboard is completely... like motion sensitive and all this shit. You grab it to do you. There's no controller at all. I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time believing that this is going to be a success. I think when people play these skateboarding games, they want to be able to pull off these like crazy moves, you know, fairly easily. They don't want to have to actually like be good at skateboarding to be good at the game.
Well, how long has it been since there's been a really successful skateboarding game? Anyway.
Yeah, Skate, I don't know how well Skate did. Skate was good, like it got good reviews, but I don't know how I think the sales were probably a little disappointing.
I mean, is the skating genre dead anyway?
It might be a little dead.
So is this basically like a last-ditch effort? Like, hey, it's like the best of Wii Fit and the Guitar Hero, and you could try it, and you're going to love it because it's cool.
I guess. I mean, do you have any interest in playing this? I mean, I like the skateboarding games.
I have absolutely no interest in playing this at all.
I can't imagine that.
Tony Hawk come to my house with the plastic board and be like, hey, man, let's play some of my game. And I'd be like, yeah.
Right. Let me beat your ass with this plastic skateboard.
Get out of my house is what I'd say.
I like skateboarding games, but I just don't see myself sitting in my living room on a piece of plastic tilting around and stuff. It's going to be, and I'm going to be terrible at it. I can just tell. I've tried riding a skateboard before. I almost felt, I can't even stand on it.
No, I can't ride a skateboard either. Another reason why I don't know if I'd like it. It also has buttons on the side. I just, the whole thing to me just, I don't know.
How much is it going to cost? I mean, it's got to be $100 at least.
Maybe 70. Gonna spend a... They could do 70 on that.
No. Did you see, have you seen that skateboard? That
I'm
thing
just
looks like
trying
it cost...
to, I'm trying to think, you know, possibilities. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just.
It's gonna be at least
$90. I know. It's gonna be $90.
I'm gonna say $90, $80. I'm gonna say $90 or $100. And I just don't see people spending that type of money on a game like that. I think it works for a game like Guitar Hero because it's like a party game. You know, it's got music in it, so it's got like, you know, it entertains you not just on the video game side, but also because you know you're listening to music and while you're, you know,
well,
while
do you think
playing.
This game will sell well on the Wii? Because it is another peripheral-based game, and those do well.
It might, but it just—it's not like a casual type of game.
Well, maybe that's the twist. Really, is now that since there are no precise controls, it is a more casual game.
I'm not optimistic, Wombat, and I'd love to be proven wrong as an Activision stockholder. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I'm not optimistic about Tony Hawk's ride.
Well, they did announce new character Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 today, so you know.
Oh, let me go buy some more shares. Who was the character?
Juggernaut, bitch is going.
Oh,
to
nice.
Be, yes, is going nice. To be. Who has not appeared in a Marvel game since X-Men Legends 2, I believe.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. And speaking of Activision, Guitar Hero 5 was officially announced, and they talked about some of the features. Some of these features sound pretty cool, actually, because one of the things that always bothered me about Rock Band and Guitar Hero is, like, if I'm playing with a few people, you know, there's one guy that has to be the guitarist, and then one guy gets stuck playing the bass. Sorry, Juan, but I know you like to play the bass.
I do like to play the bass.
But now in this one, you can really create any combination you want. So if you want everybody playing the drums, you could do that. So that's kind of cool. I like that. Also, there's some more head-to-head modes, and there's a bunch of new stuff. Sounds like it could be good. Sounds like I'm not going to be buying any more plastic instruments from the Guitar Hero franchise, since I guess I've invested in the Beatles one at this point. I could always cancel that, but I don't know. We'll see. Looking forward to checking that out. We do have an appointment with Activision. Shipwreck did line that up.
Excellent. And we get to play a little Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
Yes, yes. Also, Wombat, you talked about the Fallout 3 downloadable content, Broken Steel. Well, now there's more downloadable content coming out. First of all, PS3 owners will now be able to get all that 360 downloadable content. And now there's some new ones. There's two new ones coming out.
Yeah, first one comes out soon, too. It comes out in June, next month, right? Yes.
And they're all $10. Yeah, it's Point Lookout and Mothership Zeta.
That looks cool. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they're continuing to support this game because I really like it. I know it took me a while to get into it, but now that I'm into it, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just so over the top at some points that it's just fun. So.
Yep. I mean, and also in the DLC news, Big Surf Island is finally coming out for Burnout Paradise. They've been talking about it for a while. 15 new events and 10 free burn challenges. I don't know. I think in a way, like, you know, I like getting new content for the game and stuff. I like the whole concept behind it. But it seems like now, like, everything's $10. Just how, like, those Xbox Live Arcade games used to be $5 in the beginning, and now they're all $10. Now all DLC is $10, whether it's map packs, whether it's, you know, add-ons for games. It all seems to be $10, and it seems like a lot of it is just not worth $10. So I don't know, like you said, like the last Fallout 3 thing, the Broken Steel, you said you thought was worth $10, but maybe the other ones were not.
I think the Pit, I mean, it sounds silly, but I would have been happier if it was like $7, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, it's all a matter of perception. And, you know, look, $10 is a sixth of the price of the game, which is not,
is
you know,
true.
Insignificant. You know, and I don't know. I just seem like it's the whole thing is getting out of hand and just too much,
too much
of it, and it costs too
much. I think my problem with the Pit was it's a very small area, and I don't think there was enough good new stuff. Like, I think the success of DLC in a game like Fallout is you want more crap. So if they don't add enough crap to it that you get to hold on to, I think it loses some of its charm.
Well, I just like more stuff to do. I want them to add several hours of gameplay back on the game. So, like, that's why I didn't like the Saints Row 2 downloadable content, because, yeah, they gave you some more crap. They gave you a few more vehicles, but they only gave you three more missions to do, and you blow through those really quick. So, you know, for $10, I didn't even get, like, an hour's worth of gameplay out of it.
I think even, like a some sort of evergreen type of quest is good for DLC also. Like in the Broken Steel, there's, you know, protecting caravans from raiders is something that's added into the game.
You can do it anytime you want.
Yeah, it's just something that's there. And that's cool because it adds replayability to the game, and technically there is no end to that. So that's a nice little bonus for that DLC. So maybe in Saints Row they should have added some sort of, I don't know, carjacking mini something that isn't there already. I didn't make the game. I'm not going to think of what they should have added. But that would have just kept the game alive even after you played it.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay. Let's move on to Microsoft, Wombat. A lot of rumors and whatnot floating around. There's a rumor that Microsoft is going to be announcing a new Zune, a HD Zune. That basically is an all-in-one device. I guess it's everything but a phone. So it'll be a game console, supposedly. You'll be able to play your Xbox Live Arcade games on it. You'll be able to, you know, it's a Zune, so you can listen to music on it. I don't know. Could be interesting.
And it could be a Zune.
And it could be a Zune, and it could just be bullshit. Because there's also, I guess Microsoft also patented some sort of magic wand device. Did you see that? Jay Allard's
Isn't
magic wand.
Isn't that a
wand.
Dildo?
It's not a dildo. Well, that's the Hitachi magic wand.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's supposed to be able to, like, you control your house with a magic wand. It's not really game related. Also, Forza 3 showed up on, I guess the game guide showed up on Amazon Germany. And the game guide's release date was September 30th. So, obviously the game is going to be shown at E3. I mean, I know that it's coming. I know for a fact.
Is that a surprise that there's going to be a Forza 3?
Well, that it's coming. It's going to be coming this year, it looks like.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe not. It's not a surprise, but I guess it is a surprise that there's going to be two Forza games on the Xbox 360 before one Gran Turismo game on the PS3.
Well,
that's a surprise.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other issue.
That's not Forza's fault.
That's not Forza's fault. No, I like Forza. I'm a fan of Forza. I like.
I know you are.
You know, I have my Dukes of Hazzard car that I bought on the auction. It's good times. One of the most anticipated games for me at E3, and now it's announced officially that it's going to be shown at E3, is APB, which is an MMO on the Xbox 360 from the creators of Crackdown. So it's basically like a cops and robbers game, but it's an MMO. So like you get your own car and you can like customize your car. I mean, this sounds like my type of game. I'm really looking forward to checking this out. Hopefully they show it on the show floor, since I was not able to get any sort of appointment with Microsoft whatsoever. This is the first year actually that I don't have any appointment with Microsoft. You know, I mean, they're always changing up their PR people, and I just don't have a contact there anymore. I wrote one guy.
You could probably email Trixie.
Trixie's not going to do anything.
She could probably help you out.
But you know what, Wombat? I don't care. Look, you know, I'm not going to go begging people for appointments.
But you do care because you keep bringing it up.
I'm just telling you. I'm not going to. If I don't see it, this is why I don't see it.
You protest too much.
Maybe I do a little bit. I say that I'm over it, but I'm not.
You're not over it. You're about as over it as I am about not being jealous of your money.
Right. I wrote this guy from Edelman, you know, about getting an appointment, and he sent me back, you know, like this form rejection letter, basically, like, oh, we're sorry, we only have limited space, blah, 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 you know, three paragraph form rejection letter. I need a form response to a form rejection letter. Thank you,
need
you
to
for
just
your...
send, like, your stats.
What do you mean?
You need to send, like, blurbs from that survey that show...
Oh, I did. Dude. I sent him this email. I mean, you got to see this email that I sent him. I told him every TV show that I ever appeared on with links to several of the...
That's
you know,
not what
you
they
want
to know. They don't care what TV shows you've been on. They want to know about the influence that
I gave them the stats of the website from April 2009. I told them how many page views we have, how many visitors we have, the percentage of our traffic from North America, how many podcast downloads we have, the TV shows that I've been on, you know.
They need to know how many people that go to Cheap Ass Gamer are going to buy a game based upon your recommendation.
Well, how do I tell them that exactly?
You need to put a poll up.
We did a survey.
I know.
So tell me the question
in
the poll.
Where are the results from your survey in your marketing materials?
It's on my blog.
What does that have to do with?
I don't have it. What marketing materials?
See, there we go. You don't even have
whatever.
Marketing.
The guy sees Cheap Ass Gamer and he automatically clicks the button send rejection email.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't.
Whatever. As long as I'm high in that Mass Effect 2 room, everything's fine. As long as I'm seeing alien blue bitches and I'm, you know, and my eyes are bloodshot,
that's
everything's
some fine blue ass.
It's a fine blue bitch right there. You coming back to the Holiday Inn with me, baby? I got the king size bed.
Stop roping me, sir.
Security. All right, let's move on to Sony Wombat. This is pretty interesting.
Yes.
Engadget had posted some pictures from a Chinese factory about this, you know, with pictures of a slim PS3. It had pictures of the box. It had pictures of the console. The box pictures looked pretty real. The console pictures, it looked like a toy. It didn't really look like a fancy video game console. So people were sort of mixed on whether or not this was a true story or not, if this was all fake. But then Engadget gets a cease and desist letter from the Chinese factory's lawyer, or the production company's lawyer, telling them to remove all the photos. Now, it's something that it's not Sony that's sending the letter. It's this factory. So I don't know. When something like that happens, though, it's usually a confirmation that this is true. So will we see an announcement from Sony at E3 about this new slim PS3? I mean, hell, the box is ready. It looks like already.
It's possible. How's that for an answer?
It's looking pretty good. Yeah. I think it's looking pretty good.
I'm going to go with a probable, but not a confirmed.
Well, obviously it's not confirmed, but I mean, this looks, it looks pretty damn good.
Or it'll turn out to be a whole lot of nothing.
The best is that all the sites completely ignore the lawyers, and then they, you know, in the letter from the Taiwanese attorneys, it says, please do not post about our request for you to take the pictures down. Everybody, not only did everybody post about the request, they reposted the pictures with the article. So that's always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine it'd be pretty hard for a Taiwanese company to sue an American blog. Also in Sony news, there was a report that Sony is still losing money with every PS3 sold, and that money is about $40. The CFO of Sony Japan announced this in some sort of meeting. So maybe, you know, this redesign allows them to cut costs as well, and maybe they'll lose less money or actually make some money.
It probably has no fan in it.
It's made out of carbon fiber, and it does not get hot.
It's made out of asbestos and has no fan in it.
Right. They're using the Xbox 360 model where... You know, you doesn't even matter if you have a fan in it. It still overheats. Would you... I don't know. I guess even if there was a new slim PS3, I don't know. Is that the problem with the PS3, that people aren't buying it because it's not slim enough?
No, I think people aren't buying it because they don't have $500 to burn on a console.
Well, you can get a $400 one.
Whatever.
Now, here's the question, Wombat. If Sony releases this slim PS3... do they would announce a price drop also?
I think if they announced a redesigned console at, say, the $299 price.
That's a big story.
That's a big story. That's a console that'll move some plastic.
What? I can only imagine. Like, Sony makes some weird decisions. What if Sony's decision was, okay, let's redesign the console, but we're not changing the price?
Or increase the price.
No, they're not increasing the price. But what if they keep the price the same? I mean, you know, and it looks like it's a 120 gig hard drive.
That's what the box says. Good reading.
Hey, dude. I'm just saying, so maybe they throw in the 120 gig hard drive and it's $400. I could see that happening.
I could see that happening too, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to move more boxes.
No, I know it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea, but you know, that could be Sony's strategy. Sony can't afford to be losing $40 on each PS3.
No.
They're doing very poorly.
And
all not just in the console business, their whole
TV
company.
And everything, yeah.
They've lost money, I think, for the first time in 14 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Sony, they released footage of Uncharted, single-player gameplay from Uncharted 2. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. How is it?
It looks very good. I mean, Uncharted, I was talking to Rusty, and we agree that Uncharted was our favorite PS3 game. Well, I like Railfan a lot, too, you know, but I think... Maybe I liked Uncharted better.
I still like the Metal Gear.
You like Metal Gear. Metal Gear is your favorite.
I would say that. I also really like the Ratchet and Clank. And, you know, Killzone's a great game, too. So.
Well, actually, wait. I think I misquoted Rusty. Rusty said that Infamous, I think, is now his new favorite PS3 game. And Uncharted was the old favorite.
But we're not cool like Rusty, and we haven't played that game yet. So.
Well, we played the demo.
Yeah.
I played the demo. You were too busy.
I haven't played the demo yet, because I don't know. I didn't. You know what I did play?
Played Fallout, and you created a new character and started the game again.
I also played a little bit of the Ragdoll Kung Fu. Did you play that?
I played that for 120 seconds, and then I turned it off.
You know why?
Because it's terrible.
It is terrible, but you know what? It's priced right.
It's free. Yeah, it's free this week from Sprint. On the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, so
I mean, look, I could see it being fun if you have four guys in your living room and you have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Might as well just jerk off on a cookie. That might be more fun.
You know what's frightening is I knew you were going to go there.
You did?
Yeah.
Not predictable, huh?
Yeah.
Anything else, Sony? No. That's a no. Anything else, Rusty?
In this house, lots of things.
Right. Nintendo. I don't really have much for Nintendo. There was a Japanese commercial about Wii Sports Resort, and it showed scenes from golf and table tennis. So we know about golf and table tennis. Shipwreck and I at E3 last year played some sword fighting thing where you hit each other with sticks, or I guess. Six sticks or swords, I forget. Which was about as fun as swinging your arm up and down really fast for, you know, 2 minutes. And what was the other one we played? It was a frisbee.
I thought you liked swinging your arm up and down real fast for 2 minutes.
Well, in only very small motions.
Oh,
not in big sweeping motions. So, I don't know. Wii Sports Resort. I wonder, it'll be interesting to see if they have a lot of success with Wii Sports Resort. Because, you know, the first game was a pack-in in America. You know, will people feel the need, after getting one of them for free with the console, will they feel the need to now spend $50 on Wii Sports Resort? And I guess they're going to get the, it comes with Wii Motion Plus, right? So maybe that'll be the thing that pushes them over the top.
I think the fact that it's the sequel to Wii Sports will be enough.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it sold well in Japan. It wasn't a pack in Japan, so.
I think it being a sequel is enough.
Okay, good. You have anything else for Nintendo? Have you been playing anything on your Wii or DS?
No, I have not.
Have you been playing anything on your iPhone?
Actually,
or
I did play
Touch?
A little bit of the Ninja Gaiden DS.
Oh, yeah, you bought it from Best Buy?
Yeah, I actually cracked that open and played a little bit of it. A good amount of it, actually.
It's not bad, right? I mean,
it's not bad. You know what, though? Half the time I feel like I'm not doing anything because of the touch controls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could probably close my eyes and just scribble on the screen and then open them 45 minutes later and realize I finished the game.
Sounds like a great game.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Speaking of touchscreen Wombat, iPhone, iPod.
I got a new game for that.
What'd you get?
I got the Outpost Koloki for the iTouch.
I didn't even know they have that.
Yeah, and it's only, if you get it this month, it's, I think, $2 or $3.
That game was pretty fun on
Xbox.
That game's
a lot of
Live
fun.
Arcade.
It's the same exact game on the Xbox Live Arcade, but it's only, I think, $3 through the end of this month, which is dirt cheap, really, for a game that's actually got a lot of features and is a very well-made game from our friends at Ninja Bee.
They sent it to you? They sent you a code?
No, I bought it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I bought it because I like the game and I like them. They're actually one of the first companies to acknowledge the show as being some sort of legitimacy.
So sort of form of entertainment.
Yeah, so I like to support them because they've been nice to us for a very long time and they tend to make quality products. In fact, when I Twittered that I got the game, they responded to me right away saying, thank you, we're glad that you like the game. So,
very cool.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's the same game. So if you have played it or if you're interested in trying it, they have demos on both the iTouch and on the Xbox Live Arcade. So you can check it out twice, and I highly recommend it, especially if you get it this month when it's still on sale, because soon it jumps up to $5. So
okay. I bought a new game for the iPod or Touch or iPhone, whatever. It's called Reflexion. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it. It's $2. There's also a free light version. It's a breakout type game, you know, a block breaking type game, but it's got a really cool twist. And the twist is, you draw the paddle. So there's no paddle that you move back and forth on the screen. You draw the paddle with your finger. So you can put it anywhere on the screen. So you can see how that could be kind of an interesting take on that type of game. You know?
Yeah, sounds fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. There's two modes. There's an arcade mode, which is, you know, you go from board to board, and when you die, you got to start over from the beginning. And then there's a puzzle mode where there's like a bunch of set stages, and you can play them in any order. And you try to get you try to get bronze, silver, and gold ratings on each of those. For $2, I think you can't go wrong. And if you're interested in a game like that, it's one of those games that, you know, because it really heavily relies on a touchscreen, it could not work unless you had a touchscreen. You know, the whole thing is designed around having a touchscreen. So I thought it was pretty interesting. You may want to give it a try if that sounds interesting to you. I also bought a non-game related app that some people might be interested in. It's called Shopper. It's just a shopping list program. But if you do the shopping in your family, I highly recommend it. It has a database of all different grocery items. You could add your own things to the database, and you can create lists, and it's very slick, it's very well done, and it's only $1. So I recommend that as well. And one quick last one, I bought something called 100 Push-Ups. I think I Twittered about that.
You did.
It's basically an exercise program that will supposed to get you to do 100 push-ups in, I think, 2 months. You take a test. It's called 100 push-ups. You have to spell out 100. It's $2. I think I paid $1 for it, but I'm not sure. You take a test in the beginning. It just says, how many push-ups can you do at once? And I could do 11, in case you're wondering. And then it makes a program for you. So every other day you do 5 sets of push-ups, and it tells you how many to do. And then supposedly by the end of the program, you can do 100 push-ups.
Excellent.
So, I don't know.
Good luck.
It's sort of interesting. I've been doing it. Ty laughs at me when I do the push-ups. He thinks it's really funny.
As he should. Sabrina has gotten into all she wants to do now is walk.
Oh, boy.
And she can't quite get there yet, so we have to hold her hands, and she starts to run around in circles around the house. But if we stop before she's done, she just goes, she throws a fit.
Yeah, kids are annoying. Ty does. You know what Ty does now? So sort of similar, actually. You know, he's been walking for a while now, but now if he sees his stroller, he wants to walk with the stroller. He wants to, like, push the stroller or, you know, be pulled by the stroller. So if you put him in the stroller, he eventually realizes that he wants to be walking next to the stroller and pushing it. which is annoying because you'll never get to where you want to go. It just takes forever. And then he starts crying and flips out.
Gotcha.
So I got to shove a cracker down his throat. So
yeah, crackers are good. We use the, what are they called? The cookies that she likes, the biscuits.
Yeah. Oreos?
No, the Nabisco.
Double stuff Oreos?
Not double stuff Oreos.
Ritz crackers?
Not Ritz crackers. The biscuits.
Combos? Combos.
Eat. Baby biscuits.
Pizza combos.
Pizza, yes. No, the peanut butter ones. Peanut butter combos.
All right, Wombat, I think it's I think it's time for the CAG bag, or show us your tweets. I mean, we don't really have any CAGs on news. I covered it all in multi-platforming. All of your show us your tweets are terrible, Wombat.
Well, I want to at least mention this one. I want to give a – because JD Lady asked us to give a shout-out to her fiancé, Beyond Lag. They listen to the show together and are getting married on June 13th. So congratulations on your upcoming nuptials to two fans of our show. So that's
brilliant. All right.
Yes. Well, this week I just asked people, I said, tell me something random to say on the show. And I got a lot of people who just sent me the response of penis, a handful of spoons, and snossages showed up a lot.
Snossages is still going strong. Who knew?
Snossages, yeah, I was surprised with that one. Stick wanted me to mention that Canadians are afraid of the dark. TJ Cravey, roosters don't lay eggs.
All right, we're done.
That's a spicy meatball from Sunflower 4000.
Enough.
You just have no sense of humor.
They're not. Well, you don't either, apparently, if you put these on the outline. All right, let's go right to the CAG bag, Wombat, so we can spend some quality time on these questions. We talked a lot about E3, but I just got to read this guy's email because it's funny. Sinewave says, esteemed CAG cast and CAG 4 play hosts. It's almost E3 time again, and in our yearly quest to finally get some decent E3 coverage, I think he means from us, I would like to know if you have any plans to really blow us away with some great coverage, which I know you have the potential to deliver, or if we must accept the same coverage of years past of a few phoned-in CAG casts that don't really convey what E3 is like to us. If not, I would humbly ask that you consider planning some real coverage this year now that you have the resources to make it happen. Then he goes on to he's assuming that you're going, Wombat. So he's mistaken there. And now he says, I would ask that you focus on quality and staying as a team the entire show, with each host taking on a different role for a truly knockout crew, including host, cameraman, and blogger, photographer. A CAG crew, if you will. That way you can have daily blogs of E3 events sprinkled with live photos of the show, and even a live video here and there of GPD doing interviews, spots on the show, and so on. Call it a pipe dream, and I have no idea if this is even possible, but blah, blah, it's a golden opportunity, blah, 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 blah. Well, Wombat, I got to say, I would keep your expectations very low, Sine Wave. That way you won't be disappointed.
I think
your expectations should be set firmly at, I hope GBD doesn't.
For Stun? Is that
No, I'm saying set your expectations for, I hope GBD doesn't leave his video camera in a taxi or remembers to actually go to the show.
I'm waiting for you to get arrested for grabbing the buttocks of a painted lady by mistake.
A painted lady? Yeah, what's a painted lady?
Someone blue.
Oh yeah, I hope they have some blue ladies.
Some
there.
Blue chicks. Again, there's got to be at least one blue chick, right?
I don't know. I think EA is a little classy. Like they don't have
booth
chicks
painted blue.
Nah. So I don't know. Honestly, like the problem is, you know, there's only two of us, so we want to see a lot of stuff, and I also want to go out for nice dinners and go to parties. So that doesn't leave a lot of time for me writing up articles and producing videos and things like that, especially considering that, you know, it's a 17-hour time difference for me and jet lag is kind of a bitch. So, like I said, keep those expectations to, I hope GBD comes back with everything that he left with.
Yes.
Cursor wanted to know if you were going to come to PAX this year in Seattle, assuming that I'm going, and he says, I went last year and it was a lot of fun, plus Cheapy will volunteer to pay your airfare. And since you press, you're getting free. Well, thanks, Cursor, for spending my money for me. That was very, very
thoughtful. You're paying my
you.
Airfare? I'll go. I could probably find, I even have friends in Seattle. I could probably find a place to stay.
No, I'm not. First of all, the only reason why Shipwreck gets a free trip to E3 is because if I do that, then he has to be my friend for the week. And otherwise, I have no friends.
I'm not going to PAX.
But I'm not going to PAX.
So?
So it doesn't. You don't do me any good going.
Oh, I see. What if Shipwreck goes with me?
No. See, you're missing the point. It's all about me.
So why don't
you benefit me somehow?
We'll both go to PAX.
But how does that benefit me? What are you gonna? What is that gonna? What kind of value does that bring to me?
Of going to PAX, it gets you FaceTime.
Yeah. No. How does it get me FaceTime? I'm not there.
You should come too.
I can't go.
Why not?
I don't know.
Give me a reason. I want to know why you can't go. What do you have?
Dude, you're
to
not
do?
Even going to E3, dude.
That's because I have a day job and I just can't take off 5 days in a row.
Well, I have a wife and a kid who aren't exactly thrilled that I'm gone for a week.
I think they could live without you for a week and another 3 days.
And I live in Japan. It's a long flight.
Not to Seattle. It's only like 20 minutes.
20 minutes or 9 hours?
What's the difference?
8 hours and 40 minutes.
Damn you and your math skills.
So, I don't know. I would look, if I went, Wombat, I would pay for your trip. But if I'm not going, which I don't think I am, I will not pay for your trip.
Well, if that's on a weekend, as Cursor says it is, and I could stretch it, maybe I'll go whether or not you pay my airfare or not.
It's Friday, Saturday. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe my wife would let me go. I don't know.
Well, if she lets me go, then we could definitely both, you know, that's something I could swing because I could take off a Friday and a Monday.
Nobody invited me to be on a panel this year.
Well, maybe if you announce that you're going, we could both be on a panel, or they would probably let us do a live show.
It's too late, I think. I'm sure it's all planned out already.
You think so, but, you know, we're powerful people.
Oh, yeah. Just ask that guy at Edelman.
Exactly. Very powerful. He doesn't send that form rejection letter to everybody.
Actually, I think that's what the very definition of a form rejection letter is.
Now, there are some people that he accepts.
There's some people that don't even get that form exactly. rejection letter. He doesn't even write back. Yeah, I guess I should feel lucky. Tommy Don.
Yes.
Tommy Don surrounded by X's. So would you say that it's X Tommy Don X or just Tommy Don?
It's Tommy Don and X's.
Okay. How about a Resident Evil 5 update? How have you guys been doing with it in the past few weeks? Wombat, have you ever tried your Capcom-sponsored multiplayer versus mode?
No.
Wombat?
I didn't.
You haven't?
No.
Well, you probably have nobody to play with.
That would be the reason.
Right. And I'm not playing it until they acknowledge and fix the glitch on the Xbox 360 version that has the potential to delete your save file. Because if I go through and play another few hours of the game and my save file gets destroyed, I am going to be very upset. And I don't need that frustration in my life.
Right? I actually like this question from JKHub53.
Yes, it's a good question. Read it.
Hey guys, I was just thinking that the reason I feel ripped off paying $15 for downloadable games is because they say I have the same amount of achievement points as the $5 games. Do you guys think that Microsoft should increase the amount of achievements for the more expensive downloadable games? That's my comment right there. Sorry.
Yeah, actually, this has been in the CAG bag for like 4 weeks now. I just never got around to answering the question. I think that's actually a really smart strategy for Microsoft because people do buy Xbox Live Arcade games for achievement points.
Yeah, I mean, if they were to increase it, you know, exponentially, $5 games are 200 points, $10 games are 400 points, $15 games would be 600 points. That would sell more $15 games.
I think they would, and I mean, look, Jay says he feels ripped off. I mean, from ripped off paying $15, if just because of the achievement point thing. I mean, for me, I think it's a little silly. I mean, I don't really care about achievement points that much. But you obviously do, so obviously it seems like it's a good strategy. They should do that. And if someone from Microsoft is listening, you know, you can thank JKHub53 for that money-making plan. Let's see. We talked about this already. Saunter Scowie wants to know. He says... He says, Wombat, I know that you've mentioned about trading in your games in the past shows. and wants to know if I ever trade in any of my games in Japan or when I was still living in the States. Yeah, I used to trade them in at GameStop once in a while. In Japan, I've sold back, you know, you can sell back your games and they give you cash for them here. And if you sell them back pretty soon after they come out, like in the first week, you can almost recoup, and it's like a popular game, like a Resident Evil or something. You can almost get back the entire amount that you've spent on the game. You know, it winds up becoming a $10 rental at that point. But I don't do it a lot. Mostly because most of my games I buy are from Play Asia, and they're the Asian version of games, and I really can't sell those back to a store here. They won't buy them. Well, there's a store that'll buy them, but they won't give me very much money, so I just don't bother. I lend them out to my friends, my few friends that I have, so they like me, because they know I give them games. Let's see. CFootball1 says, don't you find it odd that pornography is strictly forbidden on CAG, but yet the admin of the site watches it on a daily basis? Not to say I want pornography on CAG, though. I don't think it's that strange. I mean, we all do things that are probably illegal, and you don't necessarily do them at your place of business. Right, Wombat? You don't do anything illegal?
No, I do not.
You don't steal cable?
I do not steal cable.
You don't have a box in your house that lets you get all the pay-per-view channels for free?
I do not, no. They don't have those anymore.
I know. I used to have those. Those were great.
I know, but now it's all digital, so it really doesn't work that way.
Right. No, I mean, look, it's like I said, I mean, it's my place of business, and I told you I've smoked weed before. I don't want, I've even in college, I might have sold a few bags of weed. To my friends and stuff, and that doesn't mean I'm going to allow you to sell weed on CAG. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Wombat?
I don't.
Wolfkin says, you mentioned that you were interested in SingStar Queen, but the prospect of attempting to match Freddie Mercury's vocal range is daunting. What if you didn't have to reach those unique high levels? In SingStar, you can score even if you're an octave lower than the singer. Would that change your mind and make SingStar Queen a more palatable purchase? You know what, I would consider getting that, actually. I do realize that. And Lips is the same way. You can sing in the octave lower. And same with Rock Band and all that shit. Queen is awesome. Queen is probably, like, my favorite band. I watched the concert. There was, like, some concert of them in Montreal. It's just amazing. Even though you can see Freddie Mercury's penis through his short shorts, the concert was still pretty entertaining. You still there, Wombat?
I am here, yes.
Okay, last question, Wombat, so don't worry.
We have questions? What do we got?
One more. I don't know. Do you want to answer this question? Kube00 says, you guys were talking about wedding rings a couple shows ago. I have a quick question. How much did your entire wedding cost you? Did you pay for it, or did your parents or her parents cover it? I mean, my wedding was really small. We only had, like, I want to say 70 people.
That's medium-sized.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was less than 10 grand, definitely.
That's a cheap wedding. Definitely. Where was it? At like the VFW or?
It was at the Knickerbocker Yacht Club in Port Washington.
Very nice.
It was very nice, actually. It was very nice. My parents, I don't even know if they still have. My parents had a sailboat, a 30-foot sailboat that my dad bought used. And so they had, you have to park it somewhere. So they joined this yacht club. And to call it a yacht club is like, it's like a house, basically. It's like a small house that's near the water that you can park your boats at. But because they were members of this club, they basically, we had our wedding there, and I think we got a good deal on it. I think it was like $75 a person, maybe, or $80 a person. And the food was awesome. It was actually my favorite wedding that I've been to. It was my wedding. I mean, it was, I thought it was great. It was very informal. Like, we decided that we didn't want to have like a typical wedding, like with a, best man and the groomsmen and the maids of honor or whatever, all that shit, rehearsal dinner. We find all that shit annoying. So we didn't want to do anything annoying at our wedding. So we got rid of all that shit. It was just basically like, we had a ceremony that was very short and non-religious, and just our friends and family were there, and just a party. We had a DJ, and it wasn't a wedding DJ. It was we had a club DJ that lived in my apartment building that I found, because I saw him carrying records around one day, and I asked him if he would DJ our wedding. DJ, a big shout out to DJ Herbert, who's probably might be embarrassed that he DJed a wedding.
That's
actually
funny. DJ Herbert.
he was awesome. He did a ridiculous job, and he does a he's a club DJ.
I got it.
MySpace.com/DJ Herbert. Don't ask me about doing weddings, though. He doesn't do weddings. I don't, you know, this was not. If he's still a DJ, though, I get his email. He actually, you know, I found out he actually came to Japan for a gig in Japan, and I didn't know about it. I wound up finding out about it until afterwards, so I didn't meet up with him.
That's too bad.
But anyway, I think that answered the question. And who paid for the wedding? I think my parents paid for it. I don't even remember. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't exactly a lot of money. I mean, weddings usually cost like $25,000.
Yeah, weddings
right?
can be very expensive. My in-laws were very generous with my wedding, right. So I have to thank them for that. It was at the Roslyn Claremont Hotel,
mm-hmm.
and Fancy. It was very nice. And we had, I don't know how many people, maybe 100 people? Mm-hmm. Maybe 50 on each side?
Maybe.
The best part of the wedding and the most fun part was getting the flowers. My parents arranged for us to get the flowers, and we went to this guy's very, very old school place with the kind of guy, and it was the middle of the summer, and the guy, he might have been about 130 years old, and he was wearing a trench coat.
Okay.
And just telling us, like, and you know, he's been dealing with my family since my great grandfather. You know, with doing kind of barter deals with my family's business and his family's business. And it was like, and he just got back from doing some celebrity wedding. I don't even remember who it was. And we go in there, and my wife had all these grand plans on what she wanted the flowers to look like. And he looks at my wife and he goes, "I'm going to do your flowers. Don't worry about it. Do I get to see any samples? Your flowers will be perfect. I promise." And she just didn't quite, you know, because she wanted to see something and touch something, and he's like, "I'm
right." She wanted to help. She wanted a say in it.
Yeah, and it didn't matter because he's been doing this for since he did Jesus's wedding, and
right.
you know, for a long, long time, and that was it. And the one thing that everyone talked about after our wedding was how great all the flowers were.
Ah, see, nothing to worry about, Wamba.
That's what I said, and she was freaking out because she hadn't.
Did
seen
he do?
Anything.
Now let me ask you this: did he do your flowers at your bar mitzvah?
Probably yes. And my brothers. And he probably did the flowers at my parents' wedding.
I was thinking about my bar mitzvah the other day because Howard Stern played a tape of him singing at his bar mitzvah.
That's funny.
You know, doing the Torah at the bar mitzvah. And he went on to this whole thing about how Hebrew school and Sunday school was such a waste of time. And I think I did. I think I talked about this like a couple months ago, even before Stern was complaining about it, how, you know, you go 3 times a week to learn a language that you're not even learning. You're just learning how to read it. You don't learn any meaning of it. So you can never like have a conversation with somebody. You know, you can't go to Israel just because, you know, you can read Hebrew. You don't understand anything.
No, but I know how to say a prayer before the wine, and that's all that matters.
Which is like, and for me, like, I just was totally not into it. And you know, it's 3 times a week. It's like a lot of time. And I was thinking like, you know, imagine instead of going to Hebrew school and Sunday school, if I went to, you know, Japanese school, I would, you know, my life would be a lot better right now. And then I was remembering like some of my worst Hebrew school and Sunday school experiences. And, you know, I used to get in trouble once in a while, but my worst experience had nothing to do with getting in trouble. I was in Sunday school, and you ever have like a teacher, you know, most of your teachers in Hebrew school and Sunday school are like, you know, old stuffy Jewish people.
Yes.
Who are no fun whatsoever, just like you'd imagine. So one year, my Sunday school teacher was this really young guy, young hip guy. I don't remember his name, but I remember like.
We'll call him Shlomo for the story.
He wasn't a Shlomo. He was like the exact opposite of a Shlomo.
A Chaimi?
He was a young, hip guy that you could not, in a million years, you would not think he was a Hebrew school teacher. And he never really even talked about, like, Jewish stuff. You talked about, you know, what there would be some small tie-in to Jewish stuff, but usually just talk about, like, random stuff.
I saw Van Halen in concert last week. It was awesome. Did I mention David Lee Roth is a Jew?
Okay, listen, that's funny you bring that up, because one week he gives us this assignment. He says, "I want you all to go home. And I want you to get a cassette tape and bring in your favorite song, and I'm going to play all the songs in front of the class, and we're going to talk about the songs. Now, this is Sunday school, so this is I'm not 13 yet, so I'm going to say I'm 11 or 12, I guess. And at that point in my life, I wasn't really listening to music seriously. You know, I would listen to the radio. You know, just like pop music. You know, and it's all garbage, right?
It's kind of like Slapchop.
So he says, bring... Well, no. Slapchop is like Mozart compared to like what was on the radio then. So he's like, all right, bring in your favorite song. So I just listen to like Z100 and shit, just like pop music. So I bring in some pop song. And, you know, I didn't really think too much about it. So they start playing some of the kids' selections. And they're all like these, you know, classic rock song, like, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, Led Zeppelin, you know, like serious rock music.
And you have what, Break My Stride? Is that what?
No. Listen, so the guys, so he's playing these, like, yeah, this is like an amazing song. This is classic. We talk about the song. And I'm listening to all these songs, and I realized that the song that I selected was, you know, I'm starting to get really worried because the song that I selected was the theme from Karate Kid Part 2, The Glory of Love by Peter Cetera.
Wow.
I am the man who will fight for your honor. It's basically the gayest song ever made.
I didn't want to say anything. I was going to ask you if you know, did you get your penis as a bar mitzvah present?
So, look, I was 12. I didn't know anything. My dad never sat down with me and said, you know, this is Led Zeppelin. They rock, you know. This is Aerosmith. So I'm sweating, basically, because I know he's going to play my tape, and it sounds nothing like what everyone else had brought in. So finally, he gets to me, and I just want to, like, jump out the window, and he plays the tape, and he's like, what the hell is this garbage? And he plays, like, five seconds of it and takes it out. And I really could not be more embarrassed. It was really, basically, awful. It just made me really... That's probably why I wound up burning my Hebrew school books after I got out of Hebrew school. Pretty awful.
Is that why you still send hate mail to Peter Cetera?
I actually still like the song.
There are worse songs, but it's. I mean, but then again, you were a kid, so
the context was just funny. Listen to like Crazy Train and
see. I'm going on the other side though. I don't know many 11-year-olds that would be into Ozzy Osbourne either.
I don't know. They were all in my class though, apparently. I was the one.
I'm trying to think what
cool.
I was into when I was 11.
It could have been 12.
Or 12. Or even 12. Fine. What was I into when I was 12? What came out when I was 12? That would have been, what, 1988?
One Night in Bangkok?
Yes. You know what I was really into? I was really into Poison. I had the Open Up and Say Ah album, and I also had Def Leppard's Hysteria. And I think I listened to those two albums over and over and over again when I was 11, 12 years old. So I probably would have brought in, and he probably would have complimented me on CeCe DeVille being a proud Jew.
Glory of Love came out in 1986, so I was 13.
So you were 13. Look at that.
I was 13.
In 1986.
It must have been right before my bar mitzvah. It must have been, it was the same year as my bar mitzvah.
Yeah, so there you go. And you were a little too old for that.
I guess I was. I don't know. I liked it. Anyway,
Wombat.
Did you
hear that Hysteria came out? I don't know. You could have done better if I'm going. Or is that 88?
I didn't know any.
Doesn't matter.
Let's do some housekeeping, Wombat. I want to remind everybody to follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/GPD. Twitter.com/Wombat5277. Twitter.com/Shipwreck. And for video game deals, Twitter.com/video game deals. You know, they featured that on... did we talk about that last week?
Wired. No, we didn't.
Oh, well, they featured us on Wired, the video game deals, and it actually did help. I did pick up maybe like 500 new followers. So
see?
We broke the...
You told me it wouldn't make a difference, and I said it would.
You're right. We broke the 4,000 follower barrier for that account. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Please review us on iTunes, like I mentioned last time. You don't actually have to write the review anymore. You just select... the number of stars, and it really does help. I noticed that a lot of people did review us, and it pushed us up the charts a little bit for at least a little while, and now we're back into the depths of obscurity. But at least close to the release date of the show, we get up there. And I guess that's it, Wombat.
Is that it?
That's it.
It was a show.
See you next week. Next week will be our last show before head out for E3.
Yeah, and slap your troubles away.
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want to say. I will always love.